Blog Talk Radio.
Don't Give Up Radio Show with Jackie Wayans. Inspiration through word and song for you.
Well, good night, everybody. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad you're listening. I've got a very special show for you tonight. You are listening to Don't Give Up Radio. I am your host, Jackie Wayans. As usual, I'm here to kind of encourage and to let you know that whatever you might be going through in your life, whatever the difficulty is, God is not too small. He's never too small to handle it and to bring you out of it and bring you through it. The key is that we need to hold on to him and trust in him and his word with all his heart and might and soul. And so tonight, I have a wonderful group that is sharing their music and sharing this wonderful message of the gospel of Jesus Christ called the Triangle Trade, and they're going to share, at least two members of the group will be with us tonight to share the music, to share their message, and I'm really hoping that, you know, really every young person is tuned in and listening with a heart open to hear what God has to say to them. So I'm going to say welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah. Not a problem. So just to clarify, you're going to be listening to two voices tonight. The first is the founder, LaVon Freewill Freeman, right? Can we hear you?
Yes.
Okay, great. And then we have Lee Cruz, okay? And Lee, what is your main role with the group?
Lyricist. I'm just a rapper, rapping for God, that's all.
Love it. I love it. So this is a rap group, and there are at least three other members, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, there's three other members.
Lulu, Leo, and Just. I love the Just. So it sounds so righteous, you know. And I went on to you guys' website, and I was really touched by your bios, because usually bios can sound really dry and very contrived. And what I was met with right away was very heart, passionate, real bios. You know, Lulu was talking about how she, you know, gave her life to the Lord at the age of 12, but yet she came out of child abuse, and she had to deal with anger issues and emotional issues and loneliness. And Leo, you know, he gave his heart to the Lord at an early age. Also, all of you are Native New Yorkers, you know, Just talks about giving his life to the Lord at 15, but then recommitting at the age of 25, which is a whole other thing when you, you know, come to that place where you need to know the Lord for yourself and live out that life. And because of the choices that he made in between, you know, he faced dealing with alcoholism, substance abuse, and things that people who are listening may be able to relate to. So your music is really real, and it's really touching right on the heart of things that many people are dealing with today. So Freewill, I'm going to go right to you, and I want to just first find out, you know, what was the impetus for starting the group? What was the desire in your heart for just putting this together?
Because originally the group, it consisted of me and another brother by the name of Luis Rios. And me and him at the time, like, I was in the church. I was, I was being convicted because the Lord was still dealing with me and certain issues I was dealing with at the time. And God had actually called me to do music for him, because at the time I still wasn't too sure if I wanted to do music for the Lord or if I still wanted to keep going the secular route. And God had basically, he had basically showed me, like, listen, if you keep going the secular route, you can gain all the success in the world, but at the end of the day, the people who's listening to your music, you won't be really changing their lives. And that's what kind of really drawn me to doing music for the Lord. I wound up meeting Luis Rios at my local congregation, Glory of Christ Church. And it's just so funny how God just puts things together. Me and him, we would stay up all night. I'd spend the night at his house, and we'd be up all night just writing lyrics, going to the studio the next morning. And I guess, like, when we decided, like, we wanted to actually take this seriously and actually go forth in ministry with it, we decided we were actually trying to figure out a name. We had spent like all day like trying to come up with a name, and the name Triangle Trade, I was just doing like research and I was reading up on the infamous Triangular Trade, how it was a slave trade, and that happened during like between the Atlantic Ocean and everything. And I was like, okay, I kind of like that name, but how can I tie this into what we're doing? And the scripture Colossians 1:13 came to mind, where it says that we were transferred from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of the Son of His love. And it just basically means a spiritual slave trade of how we were once slaves to the world, but now we're serving the Trinity, the Father and the Holy Spirit. That's how the name came into play, the Triangle Trade. And later on, God just added Lee, He added Lulu, and He added Justin.
I think that's a wonderful story. I'm really touched by that because, you know, you don't know if you don't ask. And it might sound like just a simple name, but you put a great deal of thought in it. I love the symbolism there in terms of coming out of slavery, literally your spiritual life, your spiritual bondage, into freedom. And that's a beautiful thing. It actually reminds me of your one of your tracks, Home versus Gold, which I'll play in a little bit. But talk to me a bit in terms of, do you want the Triangle Trade to accomplish? You know, what is your goal?
Our goal is to engage the culture, the hip hop culture right now, because it's a lot of misconceptions. Like a lot of the youth, they have like misconception of what life is about. They're thinking like, okay, it's about getting money and women or whatever misconceptions that the media is putting out there. And we just want to give them the truth. We want to let them know that there's more to life than that. You know, that you can have all the money in the world, you can have all the glitz and glam, but there's going to come a point where we're all going to have to stand face to face to God one day. And it's like, you don't want to be on the wrong side of the road. You know, we want to put that message out there that there is hope, that there is more to life than what the eyes can see. Because the Word of God says that the spiritual realm is more real than the physical realm. So we're just trying to get that message out there of who Jesus is and what it is that he's done in our lives.
Hey, why don't you set up the song Home versus Gold for us and tell us a little bit about it and how even writing it came to be?
The song Home versus Gold, it was actually produced by a friend of mine named Christopher Claude Stevens. He's from the Bronx. He actually produced the track. And he had sent like a couple beats over a while ago. And one day, me and Lee, we usually get together and we either cast lots or we either like try to decide what type of subject we should write on, pray on it. Sometimes we fast on subjects and stuff. And we were just praying one day on the subject, and we saw the name of the beat. It was called Home versus Gold. That was the original name of the beat. And we was like, let's write a song about our testimonies, about where we came from and where it is that God has us now. And just later on, we recorded it and everything, and then just heard it. He's like, yo, I think I have something to add on to that, because we felt something was missing, and he just added the perfect pieces to the puzzle. So it's just basically a song about our testimonies of where we were from to where God has brought us to.
Okay, I want you guys to listen up, and when we come back from the song, we're going to go into their stories and really hear where they were and what God has brought them out of.
Yeah, head down, knees bent, my feet are aligned. I'm waiting for the gunshot to meet with the mind. Wisdom is given by him who defeated the time. I take directions from a guy who is reading the blind. I trip, and yeah, I get a couple bruises. persecuted for God, they call me a loser. It's getting harder as the time goes. I'm not leaning on everything that my mind knows. I keep running, jumping over obstacles, squeezing up a tall like it's something that I gotta prove. I'm different from a lot of dudes. I'm steady focused on these mountains that I gotta move. Faithful forces despite the exhaustion. If you can't afford it, I'll point to where the cross is. The finish line is in arm's reach. Then I first, you be first when the Lord speaks. Yeah.
Drank till I grew up with my church clothes on, whatever. But am I too to need a new tux? Cause some new chucks. My old one is too scuffed with two up to the old life, and I'm back up on that road. I've been around the globe, chasing a lot of snakes and bottles, playing a lot of retail. Dang, I was a mess, I'm so filthy. Standing before the judge, you're not guilty. Then they try to kill me, stand down, bounce. Shot with flaming arrows, yeah, I'm on that straight and narrow. He ain't worried about tomorrow, cause his life is on his path. So we living for today. Talk to him when we pray. Hang on every word he say. Yeah, follow a hustle way. Roll whiter than some day. About that work, little play. I'm in the hands of the potter. Mold me, I'm the clay. I ain't worried where the cash is, cause you think it's worth.
At times I want them in the workplace. I need to build a strong house, I got to pray. I need to take the faith now and forevermore. I need to fast and restrain so I can never fall. I need to dream, wake up out the dream. Life them out the cream, if you know what I mean. But I stay on the grind, no time living blinded. Christ on my mind, Lord, I'm weak and I'm dying. I heard you can save, I heard you can heal. Some say you can't, but God, I know you will. Just let me know what you need me to give up, so I get to pick up and die from the sinner. Wipe me clean and let your light shine through me. May the blind see truly, I pray, God, you bring me to a place from this world to tone. And may I burn for you, my home, bring me home.
Was Home versus Gold by the Triangle Trade, who are our guests tonight, and we are coming back to Free Will right now. Free Will, your real name is LaVon Freeman, and I love how you play on that there. How did you come up with Free Will?
The name Free Will, my last name is Freeman, so I wanted a name that's still attached to who I was as a person, because I know everybody around me was using their real names, like Lee, he's using Lee Cruz, and Justice, called himself Just, so I still wanted to use a name that's still attached to who I was, and at the same time it can testify and glorify God at the same time. Chose the name Free Will because as I was saying earlier in the show, how when God had first called me to do music for him, it's not like he was like, listen, you have to do music for me. He gave me the choice, and that's why I picked that name, because it was a choice that I made to follow God. Just God doesn't force us to do anything. He gives us a choice. The word says, he says, I've set life and death before you, but I urge you to choose life. So that's pretty much how I came up with that name, because I wanted to basically testify to people that, listen, God gives us a choice. And that's how I came up with the name Free Will.
Let's go back a little bit to your childhood. You know, you share that you became born again, you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior as 8 years old. How did that come about? Did you grow up in a religious home? Were you invited to church? What was that experience? Do you remember it?
Yeah, I remember because I used to go to my parents at the time when I was younger. They used to always take me to church. Like, we were in church every day. My father was a deacon at the time, you know. And I remember the name of the church. We were Baptists. It was Second Holy Rock Baptist Church. And I just remember my reverend at the time, the late Reverend Davis, he was just calling people up for, like, an altar call and to see who wanted to be baptized. And I remember I was a little child, and I just wanted to get baptized at the point. I was like, oh, yeah, I want to get baptized, because I remember seeing people getting baptized, dunked in the pool of water. So I didn't really have a full understanding. And he told me no. He was just like, I'm not going to baptize you until you know what it is that you're doing. And there was a big debate within my church, because some people were saying, how can you tell a child not to get baptized if he wants to get baptized? Other people were saying he has to understand what it is that he was doing. And maybe like a week later, he had came to me and said that the Lord had told him that I was going to have a dream, that I was in a dark place, and that he was going to rescue me in that dream. And when I had that dream, to let him know, and then he would baptize me. So I was like, okay, like, as a child, you hear stuff like that. I was 8, and I just went about my daily life, you know, just playing in a park, stuff, going to school or whatever. And maybe within a month later, I remember having this dream. I was with a few of my classmates, like, in my second grade class. I still remember the dream clear as day. And we were just in, like, this dark place where it was just a lot of heat, and you can hardly see anything. It just seemed like fire all over the place. And I just see Jesus. He's just dressed in a white robe. He comes and he scoops us up, and he's just taking us to the sky. Like, I just wake up, and I wind up telling him the dream. And then he's like, okay, you're ready to get baptized now. And he winds up baptizing me. That's when I accepted the Lord. And it's funny, because around the same 8 years old, that's when I first started to take an interest into music and wanting to rap. So it's kind of funny that's when I picked up a love for music.
You know, God is so powerful, and he can, you know, address us and capture us in so many ways.
Yeah.
But I do appreciate the fact that he was willing to say no and put a stop on it, because unfortunately, and I'm saying this mostly for the listening audience, you know, oftentimes there's a misconception that it is the baptism that is the process to which you the relationship to the Lord. But that is not it. It is actually, as I say on the show so many times, Romans 10:9-10, if you confess with your mouth and believe with your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, you shall be saved. And that's what comes first, and that is the most important thing. And then you make your public display to everyone to say, this is the life that I choose. But now as we accelerate through your years, right, you know, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, things change in our lives, you know, influence change, music changes, you know, you start to find out who Nas and Jay-Z is and all of that kind of stuff. So talk to me about the things you end up getting into that kind of, conflicted the mirror of being a Christian.
I know, but mostly what kind of caused my backsliding, I would say, was the time that I went to high school, like by the time I hit high school, because before high school, like junior high school, I can see I was pretty grounded. Like I remember in junior high school, I'd always have my Bible with me. I'd be having Bible studies in my classroom. Like, I didn't care. I'm like, yo, we gonna read the Bible? Like, forget the lesson, and it's about Jesus. But when I got to high school, it was a different ball game. Because at that time, you know, I was a little older, and my parents were letting me out the house more on my own, and they were dealing with their struggles at the time. So I just saw it as a way for me to, like, kind of break free, break loose. And then when I get to high school, you know, I was introduced to, like smoking weed, and you had gangs, and you had the girls and parties and all that. So it was around when I got to high school, you know, that's when all these things are being introduced to me at once. And you know, I like like most of us do, I fed into it, you know. I wound up indulging into that stuff. First it was the girls and, you know, fornication and stuff like that. Then it was...
Who don't know what it is, the sex out of marriage that we're talking about. Go ahead, continue.
Sex out of marriage, you know, sex out of wedlock, you know. Then it was getting high and stuff like that, drugs and drinking and dosing alcohol. And then I was even gang affiliated by the time I had graduated. I think my last year of high school, I wound up joining a gang and stuff like that, and doing a lot of things I wasn't too proud of. So
were you still like going to church on Sundays, or, you know, going to the youth group and stuff like that?
I had completely fell away. Like, it was, okay. I may have went to church like every once in a blue moon, you know, like once in a blue moon. Like, I would still read my word and I would still pray here and there, but it wasn't like before. Like, it wasn't like I was going there faithfully. Like, maybe if something, funerals or something traumatic or life changing happened in my life, then I was like, y'all got to go to church because I need God, you know. But I wasn't committed during those times. I wasn't committed until, I say, around maybe the age of 20. I say the age of 21. That's when I recommitted my life to Christ. But it's only because...
You know, I don't even want to rush there yet, because I want to know, during this period of time, did you feel... did you feel a tugging, like that's where you should be, or were you really just content doing what you were doing at that moment in time? Because sometimes we come across as if, you know, sin is all bad, and it is all bad, but in terms of how it feels in the moment and where your mind is in the moment, were you engaged and just content, or did you feel a little bit of a conflict?
It really depended on what it was. Like, when it came to, for instance, like, if it came to like sex or whatever like that, like, I had know it was wrong. Like, I feel it tugging, like, you shouldn't be doing this, but I wound up indulging in it anyway. But if it came to like maybe drinking or something, it's like those areas I was numb to in my life, or like before joining a gang, like, I felt the tugging, like, yo, you should not be doing this, LaVon, but I wound up doing it anyway. And it's like every situation, like every time I got deeper and deeper, I'd always feel the tugging, like, you shouldn't be doing this. But at that time, I still didn't know the voice of the Lord yet. You know, I didn't have that encounter that really changed my perception and my relationship with God. That encounter happened when I was 21 years old.
Okay, so then we come back from listening to this song about this time period in your life, Forbidden Fruit. We're going to hear how the Lord brought you back out, okay?
Okay.
Now let my eyes flow within this evening, day and night without them ceasing. And it's so good, I want to sink my teeth in. But we all know that looks deceiving, and it's so pleasing. And I want it, but I don't need it. Should I grab it? And now I'm reaching, and now I'm eating forbidden fruit.
Yeah. As I'm looking from afar, it looks delicious. But every step I take is looking more suspicious. So I wait with a fork and a knife and a clean napkin on my plate. No waitress to wait, I'm just decided on my fate. Wiping off my face, hunger pangs is another thing. Am I set up for bait? Dang, I noticed that I would struggle with everything. Money and pride, or sex before a wedding ring. Prada and Gucci, even a little Vera Wang. I'm making a mess of myself, I'm counting every stain. So I get up, wiping the crumbs off my jeans. I was made clean, why is it dirt in my jeans? Digging deep, I'm feeling like another guy. Innocent, but on the inside, I make you wonder why. I seem stressed as I'm dating the scene stress. Can deceiving eyes make leaves look like a green dress? Yeah.
Now let my eyes flow within this evening, day and night without them ceasing. And it's so good, I want to sink my teeth in. But we all know that looks deceiving. It looks so pleasing. And I want it, but I don't need it. Should I grab it? And now I'm reaching, and now I'm eating forbidden fruit.
Now even though the world is blended in my view, I'm walking by faith, never dependent.
But we all know that looks deceiving. It looks so pleasing. And I want it, but I don't need it. Should I grab it? And now I'm reaching. And now I'm eating forbidden fruit. Forbidden fruit.
Forbidden Fruit by Triangle Trade. And, you know, from the beginning of time, Forbidden Fruit has always, for some reason, looked more succulent, smelled more delicious, but it's always just, and when you actually sink your teeth in, you find out very quickly that it's quicksand and you're going down. And then you feel like there's no way out. And that's where this dark period of time comes in. If you don't know that there's an answer, if you don't know that you can turn around, you know, you've heard people say, you know, if you're gang affiliated, you can never get out. Well, we're talking with Free Will right now, and he's going to share with us this moment in time around the age of 21 where he comes back and recommits his life to the Lord. And I want to know about that moment, and I also want to know, you know, how the Lord broke those chains off of your life.
Yeah. So I remember I had a friend from Pennsylvania, because at the time the gang was, I'm not going to say the name for yeah, certain reasons. I still have friends that are still affiliated with it. But at the time, a friend of mine, he came up from Pennsylvania, and he wanted a certain amount of cocaine. At the time, I never really dealt with cocaine, but I've always had connections. My thing was, like, usually marijuana and stuff like that. So I told him to meet me in New York. I believe it was like 2 days later. Told him to meet me up here in New York, and we'll go to the spot I know, and I'll get it for you. So long story short, he winds up coming to New York, picks me up at my house, and it's crazy because the moment he picked me up, I have that feeling in my stomach that's telling me, LaVon, just completely forget about this. Stop being greedy. You don't want to do this. Like, just leave it alone. And I just completely ignored it. So we're driving around. People that I called the night before, they said they would have it. Nobody's picking up their phone now. So we make a quick stop at a phone stop because he needed a car charger for his next cell phone. He had two phones. So we wound up driving all the way to Harlem. I lived in the Bronx at the time. We wound up driving all the way to Harlem around 145th, and we just came across some random dudes out there who put us on to a few people. And we wound up getting, I think, about probably like maybe over $2,000 worth of cocaine and stuff. And we pick it up. And it's crazy because as we're pulling off, we go back to our car. As we're pulling off, this cab driver comes up to us, and he's telling my homie, he's saying, yo, the police is behind you, and they just seen you on your phone to be careful. So we ignore it. We're like, okay, whatever. So as we're driving, the cops, they start flashing the lights and calling us on a blowhorn and telling us to pull over. So at that very moment, I'm like, okay, I've been in situations where I've been stopped before in a car. All they're going to do is ask for his license and registration, and we'll be out of here. We don't have to worry about that, and we already stashed everything. So my homie at this moment, he looks right at me. I'm thinking this in my head. He looks right at me, and he says, homie, I'm not even supposed to be in this state right now. This is not even my car. I don't have no license or registration. I'm on probation in Pennsylvania. So I'm sitting there, and my whole heart dropped. Like, literally, I literally see the next 5 to 10 years flashing before my eyes, because I'm like, they're gonna ask us to get out this car. They're gonna think we stole it. They're gonna have the dogs on us. They're gonna find everything. Like, it's over. So my first
tell us what happened. Like, did you go to jail? Like, what happened?
So my first instinct, I wound up praying. I said, Lord, I remember I said, Lord, I know I'm so far away from you right now, but if you get me out of this, I'm not saying I'm a commit myself 100%, but yo, I'll be in church next Sunday. Like, I can promise you that. I'll make that baby step. So the police, they wound up coming to the car, And they're asking him, they were like, oh, were you just on your phone? And he says, no. He picks up his GPS. He says, my GPS talks. He starts pushing buttons, and he picks up the phone charger that we picked up earlier. And by the grace of God, that phone charger did not work and didn't charge his other phone. So they saw that the phone was dead, and they wound up telling us just to get out of there. They just wound up telling us just to go home. And never in my life, I've been stopped by the police over 1,000 times, and never in my life has a police officer told us just to go home without asking for license or registration. And I'm sitting there in the car, and I'm like, yo, did God just answer my prayers? I'm like, nah, I'm bugging. Like, we just got lucky. And my boy, he was a backslide at the time. He looks right at me. He says, do you even know what just happened to us? And I'm like, no. He's like, that was the grace of God. He's like, we should be in jail right now. So the very next Sunday.
I got to say right here, because time is going so quick, I've got to say that there's people listening who might think, you know, oh, God can't move like that. God doesn't move like that. Yes, he does. He does move like that. Yes. And I want to give Lee an opportunity as well, because, Lee, you have your own story and testimony. I'm gonna come back to you, Sewell, but I want to make sure Lee gets in here for a little bit. You're also born and raised in Harlem, New York, and you also recommitted your life to the Lord around the time of around 23 years old or something around that area.
Yeah.
You had also a connection with drugs and violence, even neglect as a child. So talk to us a little bit about that.
For me, growing up, you know, I didn't have my father with me when I was growing up. I was always with my mom. And she had her own issues with drugs and, you know, just basically not taking care of her family. I remember one night me and my brother woke up from a nap, and my mother was just completely gone. Nobody's in the house, so we running around frantic. We were so young. And we ended up going downstairs in our underwear, you know, looking for my mom on the, you know, in the area, my neighborhood. And we ended up calling the cops and things like that. You know, that's just a short testimony, but that's some of the things that I went through as far as
just the fear that you guys had as young boys, you know, waking, you know, not seeing your mom there. Go ahead, continue.
Yeah, as far as you know, drugs and violence, I was very angry when I was younger. One of the things that I always did like to do was fight. I wouldn't say violence as far as, you know, using any weapons, but I was a little wild boy. And not so much drugs. I was more so into the drinking in my life, and I felt like that's what I needed to fulfill me. Like, I felt like that's what I needed to make me happy and joyful when I was younger, but...
And a question with that, when you were drinking, would your violent episodes happen during that time, or what, were you more mellow then, or was it just an illusion that you were happier?
Yeah, it was basically just an illusion, you know. There was a time where drinking started to get boring for me, and so I had started to try marijuana. And before that, I wasn't even, like, nothing would be funny to me. You know, I would just be happy, mellow when I was drinking. But the same day, the same night that I started smoking marijuana, I laughed at everything. I laughed at things that weren't funny. You know, I laughed at things that weren't moving. And I was, you know, I was just laughing, like, why aren't you moving, you know? And it was, of course, it had to be an illusion. Like, and thank God I'm not, you know, doing that. Not to say that, you know, I was deep in that game, but just thank God that it didn't go further than what it, you know, what it was.
Yeah. Well, you could have been. I mean, you know, it's definitely, as we know, it's the gateway drug. It is, that's what it does. You have a track on the CD. We're not going to get to play it tonight, but it's called My Name Is. And you talk about, you know, marijuana and alcohol, but one of the big issues that you talk about that isn't often mentioned in churches, so I'm glad you're laying it out there, is pornography, right? So talk to me a little bit about that world and how it, you know, it gripped you and how you got out of that.
it was an addiction, like your everyday, you know, drinking, smoking, or any other drug that's intaken every day. It was an addiction. You know, I would wake up to it. I would go to sleep to it. I would in the laundromat. I just felt like I always needed it. You know, like the enemy is a liar, and he always wanted to show me that this was pleasing to the body, you know. And, it was just something that I was addicted to. It started out young, you know. I didn't have a man to show me or to teach me, like, you know, this isn't the right ways to go, and this is not how women or men should be looked at, you know. This is sacred. This is supposed to be between a man and a woman. And that alone was just, it was horrible, you know. But I've grown to like it. I've grown to love it. And, this is previous. And I just felt like it was always me, you know.
Well,
it was always me. And,
no, go ahead, continue.
As far as, you know, publicly saying that on record, I had a tough time with that, you know, and I asked my team about, you know, how they felt about me saying it, and it's not mentioned often, you know. I'm not sure if the church would frown upon it, but I pray that they would take it as an encouragement that, you know, this is just another stepping stone that Christ has freed me from.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. I mean, there is enough statistics out there now that are showing that, you know, not only is it growing in male viewership, but female viewership. And there's almost a very boisterous consensus now. You know, when I was growing up, it was in black paper bags, or brown paper bags. Now it's just, you know, right there in the newsstand, right front and center. And you know, I even heard one radio broadcaster. I was in the store, and they were just saying, you know, what's the problem? I don't see what the big deal is. So the stigma is the idea is to kind of remove the stigma from pornography. Can you tell someone who might be listening right now, a young person, who thinks, you know, I don't want to have sex outside of marriage, so I'm gonna indulge in pornography. Can you talk to them in terms of what is the trap there and what exactly is the problem?
I feel like that would have to deal with your heart, you know, and for me, I had to have the veil removed first in order for me to see that it was a lie, in order for me to see that it wasn't pleasing. I had to have that conviction. I had to have, you know, Christ remove that for me. And I feel like the only way that I was going to be able to get over that was through Christ and the fear of God, because it wasn't until I actually read it in the Word of God that fornicators and idolatry and all these other things that wouldn't make it into the kingdom of heaven, that's what actually scared me.
Mm-hmm.
And it put that fear, like, you know what, if this is what the Word of God says, and this is not what's going to get me into that, you know, into the kingdom, and for him not to say, well done, good and faithful servant, then I have to overcome it. I don't want anything to do with it. And that goes for anything else that I may have been going through, whether it's going to be lying or, you know, coveting, anything, you know, anything that,
mm-hmm.
that goes against the Word of God. I have that fear that, you know what, if this is what I have to get over, then this is I have to bring it in prayer.
And you're absolutely right.
Can I add
right.
on to that, Jackie?
Sure, go ahead.
Yeah, I just, like, if there's viewers that's listening and dealing with pornography, it's, a lot of people think it's not harmful and that it's just, okay, I'm dealing with this now and I'll wait till I get to marriage. But pornography, like, it's a scientific fact that our brains cannot discern that we're not in the room right now. Like, let's say, God forbid, but let's say you're watching a porno flick and your brain actually is processing that you're actually within that room right then and there. It can't tell that you're you're watching it on the TV in a sense. And our brains, like, whenever you ejaculate, it your body releases a type of euphoria that's more addictive than heroin. So all these images that you're watching and all these things that you're letting into your body, it starts to stick to you. And it will affect you when you get older and start looking for a wife. For instance, let's say I like watching, you like watching pornography with women with black hair, and by the grace of God, may find you a wife later on with red hair, and then you're wondering why am I attracted to women with black hair and this type of woman? It's because the things that you opened yourself up to from watching pornography, it's stuck to you, and that will play upon how your relationship is with your wife now and stuff like that. So it's a long term consequence that you'll face. It may seem harmless in the beginning, but the results of it in the long run is definitely fatal.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I want anyone listening to know this is not an issue of condemning anyone who's listening. We're actually here saying, listen, we've walked through this. We understand what it really is. We see the ugliness that is on the other side, and if you don't have to go through it, there's a verse that says, you know, how will they know lest they hear? So we are telling you, and Jesus is the one who will open and reveal your eyes, reveal to you, you know, what your next steps are. But you have to open your heart to that because, you know, all sin is a shortcut to things that we desire, right? If you want marriage, you know, sex out of marriage is a shortcut to what you really want. Anytime you take a shortcut, it usually leads to some kind of, deformed behavior pattern. So what we're really trying to say is that you don't want to, you know, damage yourself, your psyche, your mentality, your body, so that by the time you have found this person or find the job or whatever it is, that you're so, limited that it's going to take so much work. But the Holy Spirit is able to do it, you know, and I want to just, you know, put my little two cents in there. Lee Cruz, you have another song, though, that's called You Will. And can you set that up for us? Because I think that really takes us into what you just stated before about the heart being the issue.
That song, it was actually, it was an encouragement. I'm not sure if you ever heard of Andy Mineo.
Yes.
You have?
Yes, definitely. I love Andy Mineo. Yes.
Oh.
I've been to Battle Cry. I've seen him with Lecrae. So, yeah, I definitely know
him.
Yes.
Was that last year? I went there last year.
It was the year before last? No, it was last year. You're right. It was last year. Mm-hmm.
Last year. For me, that song, I took that song and I took that opportunity to, I guess, let the listeners get to know more about me. And so the first verse basically talks about, you know, my childhood and how my mom, she raised five men all on her own. And just my love for God and my strive and you know, who I do it for. And yeah, that track is just to know more about who I am and what I'm about as far as, you know, Lee the rapper and Lee the, you know, actual Christian, the churchgoer.
You know, the track's Andy Mineo's, but you put your own lyrics to it?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So this, by the way, guys, they've got a great mixtape. We're going to tell you how to get it, but you got to keep listening to hear that. So let's hear You Will.
Amen.
When you see me, I'm in uptown, baby. What you know about me? Oh, nothing really? Well, let's change that. See, I'm half black, Puerto Rican, and I see Kim from way back. Maybach, Mercedes, these ladies, I don't chase that. So I, more men will lead, and less men will speak, cause they man enough to
group with no responsibility.
For the actions, I'm asking, how can I become a man with half of a fraction of parents raising me? Shout out to my mama, she did it all alone without the help of a man. She raised five men all on her own. So this honesty. Yeah. I know I was a pain, but I grew to be a better man. Repping Jesus' name, unashamed of the gospel. Jesus Christ, I got you. Just send me on my way, and I fish for men that will follow.
Young cat, I'm
24, been there, done that, and plenty more. Now the God I'm living for deserves it, so I give it all. Cause
why are you all me?
My glasses on and I'm focused. My eyes upon the throne with nobody in my vision. I'm visioning God alone. Not a clone up in this piece. You gotta be kidding. Come on. How many guys you gonna claim made the ground that we living on? Somebody got it twisted. Believing in what they want. Believing in what sounds good. Or believing in what they want. Like why you been in the spirit? You should come live in the physical. We doubted like Thomas and really tried to belittle you. We were so stupid to think that you wouldn't do it. Thinking he crossed the line, and so we nailed his body to it. Cross, and I'm lost when they pointing me to a Buddhist. I lie in these religions, I honestly think it's foolish to not believe in God and think that we are evolving. Go hard or go home, and so I'm putting my all in. Above the rest, I'm even putting my all in. Balled in, my treasures are in heaven, yes, I'm balling.
Always will. He'll never leave you or forsake you. And if you put your faith and your trust in him, he will help you to break away from the bondages that are gripping your life. I've had my bondages. He's let me out. These brothers have shared with you, and I want you to know he's no respecter of persons. If you do it for us, he would definitely do it for you. All you have to do is call out to him in your vulnerability and in your honesty, and he'll meet you where you are. Lee, talk to me about this kind of my last 10 minutes. I have to move quickly here. Just kind of hit on the one thing in terms of pornography, in terms of breaking free. The Lord's the one who does the work, but what are some of the practical things you had to do to kind of just cut that part of your life off?
I'm sorry, can you repeat just the last portion?
Sure, you know, just the practical things that you might have done to cut that out of your life. You know, often I've shared on the show that I've been single and celibate for the past 12 years. So that means the things that I listen to and the things that I watch, right, I have to be carefully guarding that in order to carefully guard the lifestyle that I'm living to reward, right? So what are some of the things that you chose to do?
I noticed that I would be able to do better when I kept myself busy. I had to keep myself busy. Even even if I had to clean a clean room that was already cleaned, as long as I kept busy and you know, just to take my mind off of it in a sense of running, you know, and trying to run by myself is what actually made me fail, because I always ended up right where I didn't belong. You know, I ran out of things to do. I ran out of rooms to clean. So one of the things I had to do was I had to just run to God, you know. There's nothing that he can't do, you know what I mean? So that was just... That's the bridge. Jesus is the bridge that got me over, you know?
I think that's really the bottom line right there. I think the being busy tip is helpful because I in the sense of, you know, if you wake up in the morning, don't just lay there. Get out of bed, start your day, be busy. You don't want to give your body a chance or your mind a chance to kick in. But busy is sometimes good, but that's not the answer, right? The answer is having the Lord break it. And here's the key that I found. You've got to want it to be broken. In everything that we're discussing tonight, whether it's drugs, whether it's gang violence, whatever, you actually sincerely got to want it to be broken. So I come back to you, Free Will. You know, how did you get out of gang affiliation? How did you turn your life around?
With that was actually a process, because at first I had my homie, well, just finishing off the story, the week later when I had wind up going to church, my homie, he wind up getting locked up and going to jail. Like, the feds had raided his crib in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
And it's crazy, because I can, like, just reading, I remember reading it in the paper. My brother, he was out there, he wound up calling me, told me to go online and read it in the newspaper article. So I'm reading it, and the same amount of drugs and stuff we had picked up that night, they had the same amounts in the paper, and I'm just like, wow, it seemed like he was kind of like iffy, like, yo, should he change his life around? And he wound up going to jail for like 5 years, and he wound up writing me, and I wound up writing the OG of us, said, like, telling him, like, listen, I've committed myself to God, and I wanted to know if I can get a pass just to get myself right or whatever. And at the time, he didn't understand. He was just saying, like, oh, you can use that to kind of minister and kind of enlighten the rest of the homies. And at the time, I'm like, God was not with that at all. He's just like, no, because oil and water basically doesn't mix. So I had to just separate myself from them for a while. I just went completely MIA for a while. And after a while, when I started coming back around and I started falling back into the same things, it was actually my older brother who was there and had to let people know, like, listen, he can't be a part of this, because like, my brother is safe, but at the time, a lot of gang members that I was involved with at the time, they have committed themselves to the Lord at one point, but they all were in a backslidden state, so they kind of knew what it was to follow the Lord and be on fire for God, but not actually to actually fall back into that lifestyle. So it was actually my older brother who was the one to step up for me and. Sorry?
I'm sorry, because I'm always keeping my eye on the clock, and I just wanted to know how long did it take for you to get free completely, if you had to put
free
some
completely,
time in.
I'd say probably about a year after that.
Okay. All right. And I think the lesson there, too, for those who are listening is, you know, it's easy to get into stuff. It is not easy to get out. And that doesn't matter what it is. It's always easier to put on 10 pounds than it is to take it off. That's just the nature of things. But I'm so thankful that you guys have shared, and I want you to talk to the people about how they can hear more from you, your website, how can they get in contact with you, because we've just barely scratched the surface tonight.
Yeah. Well, so if you want to hear our new mixtape, God Made Music, you can go to our website, www.thetrianglertrade.co.nr. And if you're interested in either doing a collaboration or either booking us, you can contact us on thetriangletrade@gmail.com. We're also on Twitter, Facebook. Everything is basically The Triangle Trade. So we're on all the major social media networks if you want to contact us.
They're very easy to find. And also, your CD is free, right?
Yes, it's free. If you'd like to donate to the ministry, you can, but we're not asking for a dime.
Did you hear that, guys? Free music, good music. Just download it. You don't have to think about, should I download it? It's download it. Have it in your iPhone. I speak to young people all the time who are like, well, I can't get any Christian music. I'm like, okay, here's an opportunity. It's free. It's there. Just go to the website. Download it. If you have any problems downloading it, hit them up, and they'll figure out another way for you to get the music. But this is a ministry that's giving you, talking to you about where you are living right now and a real God who's able to bring you through real life situations. And you're speaking from experience. Yeah, go ahead. Give us a closing word, each of you. Why don't we start with Lee?
Hello?
Yeah, Lee, why don't you give us a closing word to those who are listening, if you had a word of encouragement.
Okay, I would say there's nothing that God can't do. There's no struggle that's too hard. There's no discouragement that's too downcasting. There's nothing that God can't do, and your heart has to be in it. Your heart has to want to change. Whatever it is through, you have to find it in your heart to want to change first. I know a lot of the times people just want to change just because they know that what they're doing is wrong, but if you sincerely want change, it doesn't matter what it is. It can be of the smallest things. God is going to do that for you, and God is going to free you. There is freedom in the name of Jesus. So just depend on him, count on him, and he will change it for you. I can bet that on my life that he will change it for you.
Amen. And free will, what would you say?
I would leave people with this scripture. It's 1 Peter 5, 6, and 7. Where it says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. Whatever it is that you may be going through, it may be a struggle with addiction. You may just have a headache in the morning. Whatever it is, like, God wants to know you. God wants a relationship. Whatever we deal with in life, God takes it upon himself personally as if he's going through them himself. So I just encourage you guys to read that scripture, to meditate on it, and just continue to seek God. If you don't know God, please, like I'm begging you, please get the chance to know him. You won't regret it.
Amen.
You have it. You've been listening to Don't Give Up Radio. Until next week, I want you to be your own best hero and rise to the occasion, because God will meet you there. He's not going to leave you. I'll be on your
rise. Rise. I'm baptized in a body, so I want heaven's best. Plus in the water, my thirst, it ain't ever quenched. Plus in the fire, with tongues is the evidence. My tithes and my offers, the best money ever spent. I used to be a rebel, but now I'm on a level with the fear of the Lord. It really make me tremble, and thanks to his blood, I bruised the head of the devil, and I died to my sins. Somebody get a shovel and bury him. Oops, I mean body him. Kill all the pride in him. The truth, we are plotting it. God, not a man. So if we die in unbelief, we gon' ride with him to a new life. Yeah, we newborns, on fire for Christ. Don't be lukewarm. Don't you know you free? Why you got a new song? No more hanging in there. We sing a new song. So let us all sing and let us all dance. Thank God we are part of His whole plan. If you don't know Christ, get with the program. It's life in the new and death to the old man. So go bury him. Go bury him. So go bury him. Go. Go bury him. It's life in a new and death.